Amen. All right, Pablo, come on up, man. Okay, so as he's coming up, let me make sure I got the story right, okay? So Pablo's family came to Christ about 100 years ago, or that's when God really, and I'm not sure if you're going to share this, but the way that the gospel first came to his family was through a Catholic priest gone rogue.
Yeah.
So a priest, and I don't know what the story is, but like, you know, discovering the gospel but then being ran out, and so he went from village to village, town to town, preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. So, is that cool or what? So, Pablo, we're so thankful to have you here today, you and your family, and so, man, just share what God has laid on your heart for us this morning.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. We are very happy to be here and to meet you, and we had a great time in Sunday school, and like Pastor Mike was saying, the gospel entered my family through a Catholic priest that was reading Romans. And he, this was in the beginning of last century, and he lived in Bolivia, a country north of Argentina. He read Romans, he understood that salvation is through Jesus Christ by grace, and he started to preach that at Mass. And after a few months, the other priest started to threaten him. So he had to escape Bolivia, and he went to the north of Argentina and started preaching the gospel in the towns in the north of Argentina. And in one of those towns was my great-grandmother from my father's side. And she heard the gospel for the first time. She was searching for God. She was a very devout Catholic, but she had a lot of questions and no answers. And through the preaching of this former Catholic priest, she understood the gospel. She was saved, and then my grandmother was saved, and then later on my father, and then the rest of the family. So that's how God, that's the story of my family with the gospel. And we are so happy to be here in Oregon. This is our first time ever in Oregon, state number 21 in this trip. And it's been so nice to see the mountains here is very beautiful and everything else. I am here with my wife, Fio, and our three kids, Julieta, she's 11, Daniel, he's 9, and Samara is 2 years old. So thank you for this opportunity to share about the ministry in Argentina. We want to start with a very short video and then some pictures of what's going on in our country.
We are the Ramirez family. I am Pablo.
I am Fio.
I'm Juli.
I am Dani.
And I am Sammy.
We are serving the Lord in the Punilla Valley, in the province of Córdoba, right in the middle of the country of Argentina. Our valley has 15 little towns that don't have any churches that preach the gospel. We are currently working in two of these towns, planting and establishing churches. Throughout the years, the Lord has permitted us to preach the gospel and disciple believers in different parts of the valley. Once a group is formed and the leaders trained, we hand over the leadership and continue advancing north in the valley. We do a lot of emphasis in training national men to be the pastors of these churches. The Lord has been good, and it's been a blessing to serve as a family in the Punilla Valley. And we are seeing how God is changing lives and establishing these churches. Argentina is a very Catholic country, and our area is very traditional. People are very materialistic, but they need to hear about Christ. And you don't need to convince an Argentine that God exists. They believe there is a God. But when you get to the part about sin, about Christ, that's when they get offended. But they need to understand that salvation is through Jesus Christ. So, in these towns, we have different strategies to contact people. Each town has its own different idiosyncrasy. Over the years, the Lord opened doors through a variety of ministries in the Punilla Valley, like Bible classes for children in a very poor part of the city, free English lessons for adults, evangelistic house meetings, soccer tournaments for teenagers, drama events, etc. Another town where we are working is called La Falda. There, we are having a Bible study in a family's house, and Lord willing, we are planning to start formal church services soon. In these last 3 years, we have also been working in the main town of the valley called Villa Carlos Paz. It's a big city, and there the Lord has been establishing the main church of the valley. We are having discipleship, doctrine classes, women's meetings, men's meetings, and couples meetings. We also had the possibility to start a radio ministry with weekly live programs. We are thankful for God's provision through all these years, and we appreciate your partnership in ministry. We appreciate your prayers. We need many prayer warriors. And our theme verse for ministry is in 1 Kings 18, verse 37. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. That is our prayer for the ministry here in Argentina. God bless you.
There is a saying that an image is worth more than a thousand words. So that's why we always like to show pictures of what's going on in our country, in Argentina. And Sorry. My wife and I, we met 14 years ago in a young adult special meeting in her church. My wife is from Uruguay. I was born in Argentina, in the north part of the country, right in the border with Paraguay, about 15 hours away from where we actually live. And I was invited to preach in her church in a young adults special meeting, and that Saturday we met. And I actually have a sister 1 year younger than me, and she met her future husband in that same meeting. So it was a powerful meeting, you know. I always tell young adults, do not miss those meetings because you don't know what the Lord has in store for you. But we met, and 1 year and 9 months later, we got married, and we went to live to Argentina, to the middle of the country of Argentina. And that's our family. And we are serving with biblical ministries worldwide. This mission board is in Lawrenceville, Georgia. We are so happy to be serving with them. They do a lot of emphasis in church planting ministry. Our main church is here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Community Bible Church. And we've been serving full-time for almost 8 years now. And Argentina is in South America. We have all the climates, we have jungles, we have deserts, we have the Andes Mountains. It is a very big country. It's the eighth largest country in territory in the world. There's about 45 million people, a lot of natural resources. It's a very blessed land with natural gas, oil, water, a lot of good soil for farming. Argentina is known for several things. We are known for football. Sorry, I had to put this picture. We won the World Cup last year, and 2 years ago, actually. We are very proud of that, and our best player now is playing here in Miami, Messi, and it's part of our culture. We teach our kids how to walk by kicking a soccer ball, so you can imagine our obsession with the sport. And Argentina is known for its steaks, for its beef. We have excellent beef. I was talking about this in the Sunday school hour. Our whole economy is based on cattle and soybean, so we have a long tradition of good beef. It's much cheaper than here, and it's present. It's always in every celebration, in every special meeting, good beef. Argentina is known as the different country of Latin America because we have a lot of influence from Europe. Most Argentines have relatives from either Spain or Italy, and over the years we have received a lot of immigration from France, from Germany, from Russia, and that created a mix of cultures that is very interesting. So our Spanish is very different from the rest of the Latin American countries. Our food is very different. The way we think, our architecture, you walk around the big cities in Argentina and you see the buildings, it's like you are in Madrid, in Rome, very similar. So they call us the different country of Latin America. We are known for the gauchos, the cowboys. These men take care of the cattle in Argentina. They dress in that way. They use cell phones now and GPS, but they like to dress in that way. So you see them walking around and taking care of the cows, the horses, and they are very unique in Argentina. And some famous Argentines, the Pope, he's from Argentina, so you can imagine how proud Catholics are in Argentina to have an Argentine Pope. And Maxima, the Queen of the Netherlands, she is also from Argentina. And we are seeing that some New Age and some atheism is growing mostly between the young adults in Argentina. They don't want to believe in anything. So we see that growing. So our goal is to establish autonomous churches in the Punilla Valley, in the province of Córdoba, in the middle of Argentina. We are about 8 hours away from the Pacific and 8 hours from the Atlantic, and our area is very touristic. We are in the pre-Andes area of Argentina, very beautiful mountains. We have one road that goes through the whole valley. This valley has 100 miles and 15 small towns by this one road, and no churches that preach the gospel. There are Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and a lot of Catholic churches, but no churches that actually open God's word and teach what he says. And our prayer, our dream, our objective is that one day each of these towns will have at least one church that preaches the gospel. The Lord has permitted us to work in 3 towns, and we are starting in a 4th town. And we work alongside 2 other couples as a team. And it's been just amazing to see God working in this valley. This valley for many years was empty most of the year, because people only went there for their vacations in the summer. But in the last 30 years, people started to move from the big cities and settle there. And now it is full of people, people that wanted to escape the crime from the big cities or the traffic. And now it's full of people and no churches that preach the gospel. This area is also a very, it's very similar to Las Vegas. A lot of nightlife, a lot of drugs, a lot of sin. But they need the gospel. So our prayer is that one day each of these towns will have at least one church. We started working in a small town called Vialet Massé. Most of these towns have from 1,000 people to 15,000 people. There's only one big town that has 90,000 people, but most of these towns are very small. Everybody knows each other. And we started working in a town that has 5,000 people, and there we started with a Saturday activity for kids and teenagers. And we played games, and we played soccer with them, and then we had a lunch. We had a Bible class, and after a few months, the parents started to arrive to the group asking us, "What did you do to my kid?" Because she doesn't say bad words anymore. He doesn't steal anymore. What happened? And we told them we didn't do anything. It was Christ. So through these kids, we were able to reach the parents, and we started having Bible studies and then discipleship classes for the new believers. And then we trained 2 men to be leaders of this church. And when they were ready, we handed over the leadership to them and went on to the next town to do the same. And then, in the last 3, almost 4 years, we worked in the biggest town of the valley called Villa Carlos Paz. This town has 90,000 people, and we started working here right in the middle of the COVID situation. And we were kind of discouraged because we thought, how are we going to start a church if we can't even leave our house? You know, it was very strict in Argentina, and you could only leave your house once a week, and that went on for many months. But we started having a Zoom Bible study, and we will pass the link to our contacts, and they will pass it to their friends. And after a few months, we started seeing little faces, new faces in the screen, people we did not know. And it was just amazing. It was God telling us, don't worry, I will plant this church. You know, I have my plans for this place. So after the lockdown was finished, we told the people, let's meet each other, let's get together. And we rented a dining room in a hotel, and then God provided a bigger place to rent in a main avenue. And it was just amazing to see God working in Villa Carlos Paz. The people there are growing their faith. They're excited about reaching others with the gospel, relatives and friends. And we have all the activities that a church usually has. We have a fellowship. We have the Sunday services. We have we work with kids. We work with teenagers. And we do a lot of emphasis in working with men, training them to be the future leaders. I was explaining about this in the Sunday school hour. We see a very sad thing in many ministries that when the missionary dies or when he leaves, the church collapses because nobody knows what to do. And we don't want that to happen in Argentina, so we tell people from day one, we will leave in a few years, so from this group at least one man has to stand up and be the leader. And of course, God guides everything, but we do a lot of emphasis in training men. We wanted to send everybody to a Bible institute, to a seminar, but it is very hard, very expensive. So we started having like a mini Bible institute at night in the church, and going through doctrine, going through homiletics, hermeneutics, everything necessary for men to preach in an expository way. And in this latest church plant, there's a rotation of 5 men that are preaching right now. So we praise the Lord for what he's doing in the lives of these men. And when we see that these men are recognized by the church as leaders, we hand over the leadership to them and we go on to the next town. We also saw that after COVID, the best way to reach people with the gospel was home Bible studies, small groups in the houses. People that might never go inside a church building, they will go to your living room because they like you, they trust you, they are curious about your faith. And so after COVID, we saw this big opportunity to start Bible studies in the houses, women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies, and it was a great way to get to know new people. Couples meetings also, and it was just wonderful to see the group growing. Prayer meetings. I was talking about prayer in the Sunday school hour. We do a lot of emphasis in the Wednesday prayer meeting. This is usually the first activity we start in a new church plant. And we praise the Lord for this. It unifies the group also. And 2 years ago, we started praying for more creative ways to reach people in the valley. And we found this radio station that is a secular radio station, but they have a strong antenna that covers most of the valley. And we went to talk to the owner. They also broadcast through the internet. And we went to talk to the owner, and he was kind of reluctant, and he said, okay, I will give you an opportunity, but I'll be listening. And we said, great, that's what we want. We want you to listen. And he actually listens. He sends messages to us. But the thing is that we started twice a week with live shows, and we went through 6 questions that every human being asks himself at one point of their life. Why am I here? What happens after death? If God is good, then why do bad things happen? And this was the objective of these questions was for people to interact with us. We wanted people to send messages or to call us, and it was a great way to get to know people. We will always try to drive the conversation towards the gospel, and this was a new thing for my wife and I. We did not have any experience with radio ministry, but it was just so nice, such a blessing to see God using this tool to reach people in the valley. We also invited people from the church plant to share their testimony. And it was a good way for new believers to overcome the fear of sharing about their faith. When you're there, it's only you and the microphone. You know? You don't see anybody. So it's a good way to start sharing about their faith. And this was such a blessing. Movie events, especially in Easter, is a good way to reach the community. And also for the past 2 years, we started working in a town called La Falda, an hour and 15 minutes north of us. And we started having a Bible study in a living room with 3 families. and no churches in that area, no Christian churches. And the group has been growing. They are excited. And when we return in April to Argentina, our plan is to focus in this group. We want to start renting a building and have more church activities. This area is very unique because it's very different from traditional Argentina, because they have a big mountain near them, and this mountain, the top of the mountain, glows in the dark. But it glows because it has a lot of minerals, you know. But people are very superstitious, and they say that it glows because it attracts people from outer space. So I know it's funny, but it's sad too, because a lot of people actually move to that area and settle there because they are expecting that at any moment they will be rescued from this cruel world, you know. So what I mean with this is that this area, in this area, people, they don't believe in God. They believe in energies. They worship Mother Nature. There's a lot of drugs also. And so it's a very dark spiritual area in Argentina. But we know that God is going to do something big there. He's opening doors already, so we are excited. And please pray for La Falda. For La Falda. We always eat when we get together. We like to eat. And this is right in the middle of the valley. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for this opportunity to share about the ministry in Argentina. And if you want to receive news about us, we will give you our prayer card. Please take one. And you have our address there. If you want to receive news, updates of what's going on, you can write to us and we will add you to our list. Every 2 months we send an update of what God is doing over there. I want to share with you a brief passage in Luke 17. If you will go there with me, Luke 17 in your Bibles. I am not going to teach anything new this morning. You have a great pastor and great teachers here that teach you every Sunday. I just want to share with you a passage that has become a real blessing to my wife and I in ministry. Luke 17, verse 11. We will read until verse 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." So I would like for us to see 3 characteristics of a thankful heart. 3 things that you and I will see in our lives, in our hearts, if we are thankful for what the Lord means in our life, for what he has done for us. The first thing we will see in this story, in this passage, is that a thankful heart expresses externally what God means in his life. A thankful heart will tell others what God now means in his or her life. And we know the context of this story. Jesus was traveling all over Israel. He was preaching, he was teaching, he was doing great marvels and miracles. And the purpose of these miracles was to show that no one could do these things if it not were for the power of God in them. But Jesus' objective was not only to fix health issues, this was only the means so that people will recognize that he was God, and that through admitting this, they will believe in him. And in this occasion, we see these great miracles, which is one of the most amazing miracles we see in the New Testament. We see that Jesus was showing his supernatural power, that it came from God. He was giving them physical relief, a miraculous improvement. And you know, it was sad to be a leper in those days. There was no cure. You were discriminated. You could not live inside the city limits. Most cities had walls, and you lived, if you were a leper, you lived outside the city walls. You could not be with your family. You could not work in the cities. You relied on the mercy of people that went and threw food at them like they were dogs. So it was a very sad situation. And these lepers heard about Jesus, that he was going through their area, and they went out and cried out to him. And Jesus saw them, he gave them instructions, and we see this great miracle happening right there as they were going to the priest. And sadly, we read that only one leper came back and expressed what God now meant in his life from that day on. And this ex-leper was so full of joy, so full of relief and thankfulness. He could not contain himself, and he returned glorifying God. This means giving the glory to God. He was not whispering about this. He was not shy about this. He was exultant. He was intentional in his purpose of letting everybody know what God had done in his life. And I can imagine this ex-leper running and yelling and telling everybody, look at my skin, soft as a baby. I was a leper. I had no hope. I was dying. I was miserable. But I met this man, Jesus, and he did this miracle in my life. He was so happy. He was so happy. And you and I, many times, we are so passionate about many things, about politics, about sports, but maybe you and I, sometimes, we are not so exultant about the changes that occur in our life when Christ arrived, when we were saved. We are called to express externally what God means in our life. And Psalm 100 talks about this. You don't need to go there, but Psalm 100, the psalmist here says in verse 1, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." The psalmist here is encouraging his readers to express, to tell others what God means in their lives. What God means in their lives. And as Christians, as believers, we are admonished and encouraged to express always externally what God means to us. And I was showing you the pictures of these home Bible studies. And when people arrive to these houses, and when they see that the believer that lives there is excited about what Jesus did in their life, when they see the way they speak, the way they tell how things were changing their lives, their happiness, their relief, their hope, then they are intrigued. They are intrigued by the gospel. And it's been a great way to share the gospel, to reach others, because people see that we are expressing externally what God means in our lives. It is a way of testifying of our faith. It is a way of sharing the gospel. So we see that a thankful heart expresses externally what God means in his life. But we see a second thing too in verse 15. Luke 17, verse 15. "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." And we will also see that a thankful heart leads me to serve God with joy. It will lead you and I to serve God with joy. And imagine this scene, this scenario. This ex-leper on his knees with his head flat on the ground, and this gesture, this showing of respect, was reserved for someone with great authority. Someone like a king, like a governor, somebody superior in rank. You did not do this in front of your neighbor. This basically meant, I recognize that you are superior than me, you are important, you deserve my respect, and I am at your disposition. I want to serve you. Tell me what to do. I am here. Any task you will have me do. A thankful heart will be the engine that will propel you and I to serve our Savior with perseverance and joy over the years, through good times, through bad times, through trials. We will be serving faithfully if we have a thankful heart. And you and I, we will be searching for opportunities to serve our Lord. In church planting ministry, it is every missionary dreams of having people in his church that will want to serve God with passion and consistency. And we, last year in the latest church plant in Villa Carlos Paz, we handed a list of 22 possible areas of service, areas that went from cleaning the church to preparing the meal for after the service, or teaching Sunday school, and to our surprise, most of these areas were quickly covered, and we praised the Lord because we saw how God was working in the lives of the people there. And that is actually one of the parameters by which we know that a church is ready, when the people understand the concept of serving and with the right attitude. And I always remember the example of Brian. Brian was the first convert in this church in Carlos Paz. Brian is 30 years old. He's a young man, and he is single, and he's very tall, and blonde. He could be American, you know. Not many tall people in my country, but Brian is big. And before Christ, he lived a very empty life, going from party to party. He had different addictions. He felt very dissatisfied. And after he started attending our church, and after a few months, he repented and he trusted in Christ as his Savior, and his life changed dramatically. And he was so happy. And he came to us one day and he said, "Look, I am not sure what my spiritual gift is, but I want to do something for my Savior. Please tell me what to do. I want to serve him." And we told him, "Okay, Brian, go to the front door and greet people." "Okay," he said. So now on Sundays you have Brian, this huge guy, hugging people when they arrive and kissing people on the cheek, like Pastor was saying. And and everybody could see that he was so excited about what was going on inside the church, because he wanted to serve his Savior. He was so thankful. And you know, in Argentina, we are very affectionate, very passionate. So you have him making everybody feel welcome and loved when they arrive to the church. He was so excited about the opportunity to serve God. Thankfulness in his heart. So in Psalm 100, we see in verse 2, it is interesting that verse 1, 2, and 3 go hand in hand with this passage in Luke 17. In verse 2, it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." The word worship in another translation says serve. We are called to serve the Lord, but not only to serve him, but with gladness, with the right attitude, with real joy. That is the attitude the Lord wants to see in us. And our service to God is the logical and natural response to what he has done for us. We are so amazed, so humbled by his love, that our reaction is to put our lives in his hands so that he can use us for his glory. In our churches in the Punilla Valley, a lot of people arrive and they say, "Pastor, I want to see a miracle in my life. I want my wife to return to me. I want to be healed. I want to my financial situation to change." And we tell them, "Look, God is sovereign, and if it is his will, he can do these things in your life. But the most amazing miracle you'll ever see in your life is God saving you from your sins, is God saving you from everlasting punishment. You and I were going directly to hell. There was no other, we were going there, but God sent Christ, and through Christ, we can have access to the Father, and we can pray, and we are sure that he listens to us. And he calls us his son, his daughter. We call him his father. We are adopted into his family. Don't ask for fire to come down from the heavens," we tell people. "Ask for courage to show Christ, because this is the most amazing miracle you ever see in your life, that you're now part of God's family." So our service to God is the logical and natural response to what he has done for us. We wake up every morning, you and I, and the first thing we must remember is, "Wow, I have hope in this world, this cruel world, this world that is so sad. I have hope because I have Jesus Christ. I have a purpose. I have salvation. What do you want me to do, Lord? Tell me what to do today. I want to serve you in my local church, in my community, in my neighborhood, in my family. I want to be at your service. Please tell me what to do." This was the attitude in this ex-leper. But we see a third thing and a last thing in also in verse 15 and 16. "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." A thankful heart not only will express externally what God means on the inside, not only will be driven to serve God with consistency, with passion, with happiness, but also a thankful heart will make
you and I surrender to our Lord. It will make you and I surrender to our Lord. But you might say, isn't this concept of surrendering the same as serving? Well, no. We can serve without total surrender of all the areas of our lives. We can serve maybe for other reasons, maybe for selfish reasons. Maybe we want to be seen serving. But God, He knows every heart, and He can see if we are totally surrendered to Him. And when we read this passage, there's one particular detail that should call our attention. This ex-leper that came back glorifying God was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. This is very interesting because Samaritans and Jews, they did not like each other. They did not have a good relationship. They were neighbor countries, but when they traveled, they tried to avoid going through each other's country. So you can imagine that they did not like each other. They had many issues between them, and there were cultural and religious differences between Samaritans and Jews. One of the biggest arguments they had was regarding the place where God had to be worshipped. And we won't go into that now, but they basically said, Jews said, you have to worship God in this mountain, and Samaritan says, no, you have to worship God in this other mountain, So for this ex-leper to recognize that Jesus, a Jew, had authority and deserved his thankfulness and service was such a huge step of humility. Samaritans had a different approach to God. They had a different view of how to relate to the Almighty. They had other rites. They had other ways. And this happens in many countries also. In Argentina, like the video says, it said, you don't need to convince an Argentine that God exists. 9 out of 10 Argentines believe there's a God. You don't need to talk about evolution. You don't need to explain or debate the Big Bang or all those stuff. No. You can go right into the gospel because they believe there's a God. And something that happens in Argentina to us when we preach the gospel, something that happens almost every time, is that when we explain the gospel, we do it through mate. And I brought a mate to show you today. This is a visual reminder of Argentina. So when you pray about Argentina, you remember this. This represents Argentina. Mate is our national herb tea. It's a green tea that we drink. It is very strong. It has more caffeine than coffee. It is good for mornings. And it's a very social thing that we do. And this is a leather cup. And you put the mate inside. It's all legal, don't worry. We didn't bring illegal stuff. But you put the mate inside, and you use this metal straw with a filter at the end, and you put the straw inside, and you pour hot water, very hot water inside. And like I said, it's a social thing. There might be 4 or 5 Argentines talking about life and drinking mate. And there's one person in charge of pouring water and drinking the mate and then passing the mate to you. You drink, you pass it back to him, he pours more water, he gives to the next person. And we all drink from the same straw. And it is very offensive to clean the tip of the straw. So if you ever go to Argentina and they offer you a mate, just close your eyes and sip. Because it's a good thing if they offer you a mate. It means they like you. It means you are welcome there. They want you there with them. Okay? So we might be going door to door giving our tracts or talking to people in our neighborhoods, and Argentines are very friendly, and they might be drinking mate in their living room, so they invite you in, and we start talking about God. And, the mate is going around, and everybody's happy. They agree with us that God exists. They agree with us that God created everything. They agree with us that God wants to give you a second opportunity, etc., etc. But then we get to the other part of the gospel, the part that says that we are sinners and that God is holy. The part that says that our good works don't amount to anything. That salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And you know what happens then? The mate stops going around. And it's a polite way of saying, okay, leave. We don't want to listen to you anymore. They get offended because, like Samaritans, they have their viewpoint of how to approach God. They have their ways of how to reach the Almighty. And even after they are saved, they, like you and I, have to surrender every area of their life to the Lord. To the Lord. And this will probably mean go against the tradition that they were taught since childhood. And Psalm 100 talks a little about this in verse 3. In verse 3 it says, Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. This verse basically means you have to recognize that God is bigger than you, that God knows better than you. So when you recognize, when you and I recognize this, that will lead us to surrender our lives to what He wants and to what the Bible teaches. If God teaches this is wrong, then that is wrong. If God says this is right, then that is right. We will start calling sin by its name, and we will start surrendering all areas in our life. So, how is our attitude when we approach our Savior? Are we proclaiming the gospel motivated by a thankful heart? Is that what is motivating us, a thankful heart, to proclaim the gospel to others? Are we serving Him with joy as a natural response to His many blessings in our lives? And have we surrendered every area for Him to be in control? When we do these things, we will shine in our communities. People will see in us a difference. They will want what we have. And you might say, well, nobody cares about me. Nobody's watching me. Everybody does their life. But no, everybody's watching you. Everybody's watching us. They know that every Sunday morning we pull out of the garage because we're going to church. They see that we are involved in Bible studies, in serving our Savior in the church. They see how we raise our kids. They see how we, what music we listen. They see the way we speak. They see our work ethics. They are watching you. I can guarantee that. And when they see that you are doing all of these things because you have a thankful heart, because of what Jesus has done in your life, they will one day knock at your door and they will tell you, can I have a cup of coffee with you? Tell me about your faith. I'm curious. I've been watching you. And you will have an excellent opportunity to be a missionary in the town here in Grants Pass, in the community that God has put you, and you will be able to shine for His glory. So thank you for this opportunity, and may the Lord encourage us this morning. Thank you.